Hello and welcome everybody. My name's Stuart Constable and with me are Elizabeth Richardson, Samsung's Head of Operator for O2 Business, and Naz Dilawal, O2's Digital Workplace Specialist. And they're fresh from recording a webinar in partnership with Computing Magazine on some new research findings on the key issues around home and remote working. In particular, they looked at the role of unified endpoint management and the critical relationship between organizations and their mobile providers. We're going to explore some of the issues raised during the webinar in more detail. And if you haven't already, do take a look at the webinar itself. There's a link in the details of this podcast. So first of all, I'd like to raise some of the key points that came up during the session. Elizabeth, we've just been talking about Samsung and Samsung DeX in particular, and you raised the point in the webinar that devices are now more than just devices, and they're sitting within a wider framework of solutions, a whole ecosystem. Could you enlarge upon that a bit more? I'm intrigued to know when we're going to see the end of the laptop and mobile phones taking over the world.
I think that really the importance of a mobile strategy and a really well thought through, considered approach to your mobility cannot be underestimated. It's not about just buying a phone and sending it out to an employee anymore. What those devices are used for, how they look, how they're configured, what business problem they solve, I think are massive considerations. In addition to productivity, and then what we covered extensively in the webinar, which was security, and the capacity of these devices should all be key considerations as part of that mobility strategy. Now, I think that we have been limited for some time in thinking of devices on their own, and we sort of have a device and we have a laptop, and we are sort of heading towards change in that respect. So like our DeX solution, so that stands for Desktop Experience, and it's a functionality which is available on all of our flagship devices, free of charge, it's already there, all you need is the right connector. And you can effectively turn a monitor, a TV, a laptop, a tablet into a desktop experience, but completely powered by your device. Now, I think that for businesses getting their head around not having a laptop when we're all so comfortable and familiar with the clamshell model is going to take some time. It's a big change curve for people to go on. But we are increasingly finding really good use cases for DeX. Naz, I don't wonder if you want to expand on that point from your perspective.
Yeah, sure. So a year ago, and it feels like a long, long time ago, in what seems like a different world, actually, I managed to get to a conference, and it was VMware's annual VMworld conference, and I was double lucky because it was in San Francisco. And other than the great keynotes and all the information that's disseminated there, they have something called a technology pod or technology roadshow, where all the partners, including Samsung and a few others, are in there showing their use cases off. And one that came to light was either San Francisco or Chicago. I always get mixed up with the American police forces. I don't know why. But the one that it was a police car, and inside it, I was expecting to see a ruggedized laptop in there, but it wasn't. It was a Samsung device. Now, it was last year, so it was quite possibly either the S9 or the S10, and it was plugged into a dummy screen basically, which was basically just a normal screen detached from the phone through a connector, and then a ruggedized keyboard. And the police force could do everything they needed to do from that handset itself. And we need to remember that a lot of these flagship devices are pretty, pretty powerful, right? The CPU, the RAM, etc., right? I don't think about the laptop that I'm using today is probably not as powerful as some of the flagship devices that are out there. So I don't think it's long before they'll start to take over. What we are seeing is some real good use cases where the technology will work. And that's an example of a real mobile solution there. And there's no reason why that can't extend to maybe, I don't know, an ambulance service, or even the fourth emergency service here in the UK, right? So they all, last time I used the breakdown service, it took probably longer to fire up the machine that they were using than it did to change the actual wheel on the car. I had a poorly leg that day, which is why I couldn't get the wheel changed. I had to call the emergency service. So normally I do it myself, but that's basically what happened. But, you know,
that was another question I was going to raise.
It was an old Windows, I think it was either Windows 7 or Windows 8 machine, and they had to turn it on and boot it up and all the rest of it. You know, if you had something that was fixed in there, like a mobile operating system that's quick to turn on, quick to use, why not?
I think the point that came up during the webinar and the direction this discussion is going goes back to something that struck me about the whole culture shift that's going on. You touched on it a bit, Elizabeth, when you said, look, you know, the way we work is fundamentally changing. And our understanding of what a mobile device perhaps is beginning to change, but perhaps more slowly because we're so embedded in the laptop idea. But I think one of the things that struck me was you mentioned BlackBerry in that conversation, Naz, and you know, unified endpoint management, that's been around for a very, very long time, and we're still seeing in one of the polls 30% of people are looking seriously at engaging with it. Why do you think that is? Why is it taking? I kind of assumed that everyone's doing that as a matter of course. What's happening here? Why is it taking so long to get to that kind of level of, you know, uniform or unified security?
I think there's two things. So there's two forces at work, if you like. So there's the technological forces. So what you've got here is you've got the mobile world, okay, which is pretty new. It's pretty recent. It's the smart operating systems, and they were designed with a cloud-first approach, designed to be always on, designed to very quickly turn on and be self-provisioned and self-automated and use cloud-based apps fit for purpose for the current modern way of working. And then what we have is the other technological world of the old, I call them the old archaic operating systems that are designed for machines and laptops, etc., which were never necessarily designed like that. It's only when Microsoft reinvented the operating system with Windows 10, it was designed as an underlying mobile operating system, which allows itself to be managed in a very similar, if not same way as a mobile device, which is great, okay? So now the technology is caught up on both sides and you can do both things. That's great. But then it's the applications that you're using on these machines that were written many, many years ago that may still be sat within a data center that requires you to come in through some weird authentication or some old VPN type. And it's getting those things all in line to be able to then plug it all into a UEM side of it. So that's the technological side of it. And then there's also the cultural side of it as well, which kind of Elizabeth touched on. So you've got this new way of managing stuff, always on, very quick, get a device set up in 5-10 minutes, automatically done over the air. And then you've got a way of working that actually is a bit more long and drawn out with the old operating systems. You have to image them, you have to download an image, plug it into a WAN port or stick a USB with the image on it and then rebuild that laptop up and design it. And it's ultimately making that shift happen as well, and it's getting all those things married up to work in unison, which is probably why it's taken longer than it needs to do. And I think if you look at some of the vendors as well that went out there with a message around modern management for Windows machines, yeah, it was great, but I think the technology wasn't there. And what we're seeing now is something called, certainly in the Microsoft world, something called co-management, which allows you to do both on a machine. So you can use the modern way of managing a machine, the cloud-based approach, but you can also use the old way of managing it and then make a shift as and when organizations become ready. But what you'll find is a lot of organizations are invested heavily in legacy applications, which is making it a lot longer to make that transition. When it was mobile, it was a new operating system, it was a whole new app ecosystem. Everything just kind of worked. Trying to retrofit the other stuff back into it is taking what's longer, but I think with the current climate and the need to have things that are always on and can be provisioned quickly, it's going to help kind of fast forward things and bring it, I guess, more to people's agenda than what it was historically.
In order for change to happen, there needs to be, you know, either a compelling reason or a burning platform. Now, businesses have had a compelling reason in the fact that there seems to be this mass acceptance that UEMs are the right way forward, but actually the kind of the cost of that transformation and the reality of the time of that transformation I think are pretty significant, especially if you think of public sector businesses where you're talking of such volumes of people and legacy systems. Exactly as you say, Naz, we have what's happened since April or since March this year. We now have a burning platform. The compelling reason is, you know, was good, but now we have the burning platform, which is going to drive change. And I think I said in the webinar, there are a huge amount of stats currently out there about the amount of digital transformation which has happened throughout this period. You know, I've had like five years worth in 1 month and that sort of thing. And I know that they vary massively, but there's agreement that we're doing things fast now because we have to across different businesses. So I think we'll see an uptick.
I think somebody said necessity is the mother of invention or innovation or something. And I guess that's where we are. It's what's driving it. You're right.
The other factor, of course, that gets quoted a lot is, and again, it came up in the webinar, is user experience. And then you get all the stuff around the younger generations coming into the workforce and they're mobile first themselves. And they're coming in and finding all this archaic machinery and wondering what the hell's going on. And in worst case scenario, they're looking for jobs where there isn't the archaic machinery. You know, so the skills shortages. There's a critical issue there. Are you seeing that users are driving change from the ground up?
Yeah, so first of all, I never refer to them as users. I always call them employees.
People, even.
Employees. So employees, absolutely, yes. And for O2, certainly employee experience is absolutely a key talking point for organisations because it's the experience that will drive the engagement and the engagement that will ultimately drive the productivity. If you take it back, what, 5-6 years and... Some of my younger cousins have went into university and they were lucky enough to benefit from an Apple student discount. So they obviously went out and bought the shiniest MacBook ever, as you do when you're a student, right? And then they learn this skill of the Mac OS, which is still a bit foreign to me. But they learn all this new way of working, this cloud-first approach and all the rest of it. And they join these organizations with all these fantastic skills, all this fantastic innovation, just to be handed an all archaic machine and all that innovation stops. So yeah, no, absolutely. And we had a question on the last one around Chromebook as well, and Chrome OS is Chromebook is talked a lot, and certainly some of the Americans conferences that I've been to, and it's quite prevalent over there. But I think it's seen the rise over here as well, a great lightweight machine. And I always talk about BlackBerrys. I kind of grew up with it, and you know the keyboard has always been great for me. The keyboard on the devices has always been great. I did learn to adapt to use a multi-capacitive touchscreen, and I can use one today. But the people that are joining organisations today probably just know on touchscreens. They haven't done anything else. And to give them something old, I hope no one's given anybody a BlackBerry.
I'm trying my best to prevent that from happening.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got a draw full. But yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. We are seeing this. And it's like, think about who's joining. Think about who's going to be making the decision. Think about who's going to be driving the innovation moving forward. Don't cut them off.
Well, I think we've got five different generations in the workforce at the moment. All of which are going to be responding to the situation we find ourselves in completely differently. But I think, and we don't know what's going to happen, but the kind of the inevitability is that it's businesses that are going to listen to their employees at this point, which are going to reap the rewards in terms of retaining that talent. Because, you know, you're absolutely right in what you say, that they'll just go. Actually, we don't operate in a world where people get a job and then they stay in that job forever. There's massive choice in terms of where you work and how you work, and businesses will have to respond to that in order to retain their best people. So I think, change has got to happen in that respect as well.
Yes, we're seeing it in our own organisation. I must say that young people coming into the organisation now who understand so much more about how the younger generations are interacting with technology. But you have got to bridge that gap and make sure that the slightly more experienced groups can still actually make use of the stuff they're given. I mean, we should look a bit more perhaps at the question of security, but all, and the question of remote working and deployment, which was very interesting in the discussion about the fact that it's intangible, but when you're based in an office and something goes wrong, you can wander down to the IT department, if you can find it, and say, what's happened? And that kind of interaction obviously isn't possible anymore. And I think it's that you're both referring to when you were saying about being able to deploy remotely, manage remotely, and ePhoto, where you can update and keep a device going without actually having to physically be there. Can we look at that a bit more and how fast organizations have been able to adapt to that and whether or not you think that there's still a lot of catching up to do, and you know, how critical is that going to be over the next year or so?
I mean, from my perspective, it is unbelievably important. So I mentioned in the webinar, I had a new starter on Monday in my team, and had I not been able to get him devices which are already configured, which are, you know, deployed effectively, it would have completely changed his whole experience of joining the business. Equally, if we are configuring devices for a specific business need, and that can be just creating a user profile for a corporate use device, or it could be putting a device into kiosk mode so that it only has a single use function, so that you're only using it for sat-nav, for example, in vehicle. Whatever our configuration is, it's got to be fit for purpose. And what we cannot have, or any business can have at the moment, is 1,000 devices arriving to sit in somebody's living room whilst they open the boxes. You know, it's not practical, it's not, you know, it's ridiculous that it's still happening anyway. So I think that there is, So I think absolutely it is more important now than ever. It is certainly one of the things that the majority of customers that I speak to ask about. And certainly the fact that we can do it on Samsung devices is a really important feature.
And I think that physical touch point right now is really relevant as well, right? So, you know, we're in the middle of a pandemic. This virus is everywhere. Do you really want to be manhandling devices when you don't need to? It needs to go from one place to another and opened up when it needs to be opened up.
The other thing that's interesting around this is we've been doing work together on rugged devices. And the notion now that ruggedized devices that used to be great lumps of plastic where you could just about see the keyboard amidst all the protection. The latest tough devices are designer, you know, cool looking things, and the aesthetic is always important in this. Is that a key factor also with people working from home? We've got stats about men being more likely to drop their phones down the loo than the women, that kind of stuff, you know, the crazy stuff that happens in, you know, the home is a hazardous place. Is that a key consideration now that people should be taking seriously?
Well, I'm delighted you brought up rugged devices, because we have some lovely rugged devices in our portfolio. And I think that the, you know, as you say, they don't look like what they used to look like. Our rugged devices look like consumer devices that have a case on them. They're certainly not embarrassing. They're not lumpy. They're not great bricks of things which you would, you know, not want to put out on the, you know, on the table when you're having a chat with your friend. So it's barely distinguishable these days, other than the fact that they meet all of the required sort of ruggedized standards that you'd expect. I think that there is use cases for them in both kind of a generic world, and you know, you talk about men dropping them down the toilet. Well, actually, you can drop one of our Note devices down the toilet and it'll probably be okay because it's IP68. But actually, the use cases for rugged devices are vast. You can use them for corporate-owned, you know, corporate-use devices, and nobody working at home or in an office is going to be offended by that sort of that device issue. Equally, the use in healthcare at the moment is enormous. They can be cleaned, they can be used with gloves, they can be used in the rain, they can be dropped. You know, these make them a really, really compelling device. And I think, yeah, the capabilities are endless, and the opportunities are really endless. Not even my 2-year-old has managed to break my rugged tablet. So, you know, that's better than military standard testing.
I think the other issue that around this, as organisations start to embrace this stuff, they're looking at protecting the device. We looked at all the issues around compliance on the webinar, and even the fact that, you know, you're getting to the point where you might start considering only a smartphone with a screen and peripherals and stuff, whatever. Where do they turn to make those kinds of decisions? Naz, in your role, digital workplace, are you having lots of conversations about that now? Are you finding that the traditional tech administrator, actually in an organization, this is outside their comfort zone, and they're coming to you and saying, okay, we're kind of at the limits of what we know about this stuff. We want to outsource this expertise to you, and can you help us with all of this? Is that starting to happen now?
We've been having conversations for a number of years, and again, obviously, the necessity stuff has kind of increased those conversations fourfold. But it's not it's a conversation not necessarily with the tech administrator as well. It's a conversation we probably have at C-suite and with a wider audience, such as HR, etc. I mentioned employee rather than user. It's looking at the well-being. So it's a wider conversation that we have, and it's and again going back to the points that Elizabeth alluded to on the webinar. You know, it's not a conversation around how many phones do you want to buy. It's a conversation around what is your digital strategy? What are you doing to help your employees be more flexible? How are you helping them with their well-being? And that we break it down into four pillars at O2. So we have the mobility pillar, which is all around the UEM and the device management, et cetera. We will have a conversation around security, which then looks at the security for the old end-to-end solution. You know, we'll have a conversation around collaboration. So you've got a distributed workforce now. How is your distributed workforce talking to each other? How are you communicating? How are you keeping them updated with your information? That's the collaboration pillar we'll talk to them about. And then the fourth pillar will be productivity. So now that you have a distributed workforce, how do you know they're still as productive? How do you know they are being productive without being Big Brother? How can you have that that comfort zone that actually they're not in front of you anymore? There's no bums on seats in the office. You can't keep an eye on them, but how do you know that they're still happening? What metrics have you got in place to allow for a distributed workforce to be measured, right? So we're having these conversations. We've been having them for a while, but now you know, obviously the frequencies, because it's everyone's agenda, in front of everyone's agenda. So yeah, it's something that we are doing. We have a whole workshop and full package around how we approach that conversation with a wider customer audience.
And are you seeing the same thing, Elizabeth? I mean, is it kind of an expectation now that you're going to walk in with a wider conversation about the way the organisation runs itself, rather than how many phones it needs? Is it that kind of discussion?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that there is little to distinguish between manufacturers and partners in the industry at the moment, other than how they offer what they offer. And actually, for us, for Samsung as a business, we have been really acutely aware that it's about the whole value proposition, not the device. And so we've done some really sort of big stuff recently in terms of launching our Enterprise Edition devices, which have a whole service wrap included in them, and working very closely with our partners like O2 to be able to really effectively get the most out of the devices and to sort of offer complementary solutions that O2 are at absolute experts at doing. So yes, absolutely. I cannot remember the last conversation I had, which was as straightforward as, please sell me these phones. You know, it is complicated, and it makes it, you know, I think that to Naz's point, we're now talking about influencing policy and how businesses run their businesses, how they engage and communicate with their workforce, how they manage their security, how they manage their flow of data. You know, it is also intrinsically linked, but it also makes it a much more interesting conversation.
The great cry of IT teams over the years is that they don't have a voice in the boardroom, that kind of thing. And it seems to me that's absolutely changing. Either the boardroom's coming down to meet them and saying, we need to do this stuff. I mean, you haven't been in the industry that long. You're both extremely young people.
Good camera.
But
for myself, obviously, I'm not commenting on you.
Thanks, Naz. Harsh.
To what extent are you going around going, it's about time, you know, I've been waiting for this to happen for X years?
Yes, and this isn't a reflection on O2 or on O2's internal IT experience, just to be clear. It's through speaking to other organisations that and working with other organisations in a consultative manner, where they turn around and says, you know, we're always having IT done to us. You know, and that's, you've probably heard the phrase as well, and it's like, stop doing IT to us and just understand exactly what we need to have. And I think it's about time we put the employee first, and we understand what the employee's needs are, and design solutions and that are geared up for that employee experience at the core of it, rather than just, you know, here's a device. I think I mentioned a block of cheese in the webinar. It's a device, it's a block of cheese, fill your boots. And I refer to BlackBerry, right? When BlackBerry first came out, I think it was about 450 IT policies. Why would you want 450 IT policies? It's beyond me, but you could lock it down with 450 IT policies if you want and have a really good doorstop But yeah, so it's great that we're listening and organisations are listening to the needs of the employee and putting that first and designing solutions. That's what should be driving it.
I think from my perspective, I've not been in the industry for decades. Prior to the role I do now, I actually was pretty senior in HR, working as an HR business partner, hence my kind of my real focus in terms of employee experience and actually seeing the detrimental impact of poor technology on employee engagement is profound. So from that perspective, absolutely, I am evangelical about get it right, get productivity up. This is about workforce management and utilising what is, enabling, sort of using technology to enable your human resource. On our standard flagship devices, the majority of users use 20% of the device's capability. What are we doing? We have computers in our bags, in our pockets. Like, yes, let's use them. Let's do some cool things with them. So, yeah.
This goes back to the old video recorder thing. That was the same thing. People could either watch videos or record videos. All the rest of it was kind of alien stuff. I must say, on a personal note, I knew about Dex, to go back to that for a moment, but I only discovered it because I plugged my phone in to charge it into a docking station. And my screen came alive, and I thought, what was going on? And from that moment, I was hooked. But yeah, so there is so much more that we can do. There is the trade-off, though, that you touched on again in the discussion between making use of the full capabilities of the device and giving away, your inside leg measurement and your soul to one cloud provider or vendor or another. I think the answer that came out was basically it's up to the individual. Do organisations need to ask more of employees than is reasonable if they're going to protect the devices the way they need to?
So I think up front, I mean, there needs to be obviously the policy and all the HR guidance around what can and can't be done with the device. But again, from a mobile perspective, the way devices can be set up has evolved. So there's various ways depending on what the use case is and how much information an organisation needs and what they need to manage, where you can actually just manage a part of the device, certainly with the Android ecosystem, which a lot of the Samsung phones are built upon. So you can basically have a work profile on the device itself, and that's all that can be managed. But anything outside of that, there's no visibility for the organisation. And I think Google call it corporately owned, personally enabled or something similar, or corporately managed work profile that they keep changing it. So there's ways to segregate all of that. And I think what the organisation does need to do, though, is be upfront around what they can and can't see and what they can and can't do. Absolutely. But at the same time, the more an employee can use a device, the more they're probably going to look after it, right? If they've got photos on there, if they've got their own apps on there, they're not going to sling it in the back of a drawer. They're going to look after it.
I completely agree. I think it's all about transparency. If you're tracking something, if you're measuring something, if you're gathering data from a device which is being used by an individual, tell them. And then if you're really open about it, there's little cause for concern. But actually, utilising things like work profiles is a great way to do that. Equally, some companies want their employees to know that they are being tracked and that what they do with the devices they are fully aware of, and that could be part of their, the way they choose to manage their devices. So, yeah, I think just either way, whatever your policy is, whatever you're deciding to do with them, just tell people and be really transparent.
I have a feeling that this discussion isn't contentious enough. I wonder if I could find a way to get you in opposition here. Where's the line between the vendor of the device and the provider of the service that connects it? Elizabeth, what are O2 failing to do that you think they could do that would allow users to get more out of the superb devices that you make?
I think engaging with us early on in that mobility sort of definition process. I think that, O2 do some fabulous things around mobility maturity assessments. You go through all of these processes to enable the customer to really feel that, O2 completely understand them. And I think that from my perspective, and certainly from Samsung perspective, if we could join that journey sooner and be involved for those who already have made a decision on their operating system, actually what we can add to that journey for customers and our knowledge of our own value, sort of our value proposition beyond the speeds and fees of device, I think that, what we could then do in partnership would be exponential.
Naz, where are the vendors missing opportunities that you can see?
I think it's a similar standpoint. I mean, the products are great, the marketing's great, and obviously we work from that level hand in hand in terms of releasing and bringing things to market. It's those engaging customer conversations from the outset. So if we're going in tandem and understanding the end-to-end journey, where we can provide that overlay and give that one-stop shop experience from a connectivity perspective, and then ultimately they're buying the devices from O2, I would hope. And it's our role to get those devices out in the right manner and configured and where they need to be. It's all the stuff that we've been talking about. And we can do this stuff. We can do it, and we do it really well. And we have done for a number of years. Our pedigree is mobility. We've been talking about unified endpoint management. The whole thing is converging with the old way of working. But the good thing is it's moving to a way that we've been doing it for a number of years. So if you can recognise that and bring us in where we need to be earlier on, then just like you said yourself, I'm sure we can unfold some more opportunities and get more customers enabled for the new world.
I suppose the other elephant in the room, actually, if I can be so cliche, is of course 5G, which I don't think it's cropped up at all in the discussion so far. But in terms of digital transformation and you know, all the stuff we've been talking about, the changing workplace, and the, you know, do we want to develop any ideas yet around what are you seeing in terms of 5G? Are we still too early into its adoption to really see how people are using it? Or
we're obviously rolling out the network, etc. And I think the real use cases are yet to come around it. But I mean, ultimately, what we're aiming for is that ubiquitous connectivity around the country itself. And the one thing that's going to enable that remote working and digital workplace is going to be that connectivity piece. So it's finding the applications, etc., that are going to allow it to work and build upon that. I mean, but do you remember when the iPhone came out, there was the edge network as well, and it was kind of put in to kind of give more capacity for all the information that was going to needed for the iPhone device itself. Then obviously we had 3G as well, and the iPhone 3GS came out, and then the same with the Samsung devices and all those connectivity that was needed. And I think it needs something like that. So 8K TV, for example, will be something that would benefit from being able to stream and have that capacity in place to make it really relevant. But there are going to be some use cases. It's just a case of getting there. I think we're a bit early on.
We certainly see, because obviously we are, you know, we were the first to market with a 5G device, or, you know, we certainly hold the majority of the 5G market at this current point in time. I would say the adoption on the consumer land has certainly been much higher than in enterprise or in small business. I think that the exactly as Naz says, that sort of that use case is still in development. We have done some really interesting stuff. Like, we worked with O2 to do a 5G connected ambulance trial, which would basically enable streaming on a 5G network, which obviously has, you know, very low latency, in an ambulance, to get sort of consultant feedback and knowledge, you know, quicker than you ever would. And, you know, in critical moments, like in stroke example we used for that case study, actually that could be life-saving critical moments. So I think certainly there are use cases, but in that example, it's completely reliant on there being really effective, strong network coverage on a vast space in order for that to happen, and that will take time. So certainly I'm hearing use cases and ideas coming up more and more, which are really exciting, but I think that it's almost chicken and the egg. You know, we've got devices that can now do it, but the networks are sort of getting there.
I think what we saw before with 4G, the people I've spoken to remember when it launched, all the stories were, we don't know what's going to happen. We know we're going to make this possible, and the devices are going to be ready for it. But it's the employees, the people,
they'll find a way.
Are going to suddenly come to us and say, I'm going to do this with it. Mm. And then you think, wow, we didn't think of that.
And it's going to be more than really watching their favourite show super fast on a train.
Yes.
Like, there'll be more to it than that.
Yes, there will.
We'll see how the world looks and how organisations are really beginning to change, and how the way we work begins to change. But for now, thanks again. And listeners, thanks for tuning in do check out the main webinar for much more about all of these topics. You'll find a link below.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. It's been great, and always great catching up with you as well, Elizabeth.
Yeah, thank you. Some really great points of discussion. Yeah, thank you very much.